The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Ayin, and we're at the Mishnah in the middle of daf Samech Tes Amid Beis. So yesterday's daf dealt primarily with the Iska that existed in the times of Chazal, which we saw yesterday was the predecessor of what we know today as the Heter Iska. So a little bit more on that note. Zok the Mishnah, Shamin Parah V'Chamor, if Reuven and Shimon want to become partners, Reuven is going to provide the capital, Shimon is going to be the managing partner. The arrangement was they're going into the business of raising cattle. So Reuven is allowed to give the Parah V'Chamor to Shimon, the managing partner. The deal can be that they're going to split the profits and losses in half. And Reuven, this is the Chiddush of the Mishnah, does not have to add any money to make Shimon whole for the work that he's going to do, which was the topic of the previous Mishnah. Because being that the par and the chamar is oisav oichol, it generates its own income, the managing partner will be allowed to benefit from that income that in it itself generates, and that will make him whole for the work that he's doing. Makam shenagulach kasav lodois miyad chok, a city where the minig is that any children that are born from this par of vichamar, the two partners divide immediately. That's what you're supposed to do. Makom shenagu legadol. If, however, the minhag is to raise these animals for an extended period of time, that's part of what the managing partner takes upon himself when he agrees to this partnership. Yagdilu, he has to raise it. Stating that, the Rishonim speak out, as soon as a certain period of time passes, we're going to view the vlodos as new capital that was invested, so that the managing partner will be entitled to half of the investing partner's half, as if it was new money that was invested into this venture. Reb Shimon Gamliel Leimer, Reb Shimon Gamliel added, we saw this in yesterday's daf, Shaman Egalim Imoy Vesiachim Imoy, that when we take into consideration how much money to pay the managing partner, his management fee, so to speak, we can take into consideration if there's an animal that's going to be with its mother, a siach in imoy, that should minimize the amount of money that you have to give him, because a child, even an animal, will naturally follow its mother, and as a result, the amount of work that the manager is going to have to do is somehow mitigated. And then finally, mafriz al sodeyu ve'enei choshe. We'll see what that is in a moment. So the first part of the Mishnah was really the topic of yesterday's daf. A lot of it was already quoted in yesterday's daf. Today's daf is going to focus on this last line. Umafriz al sodeyu ve'enei choshesh mishum ribis. So what does that mean? Zok to Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Umafriz al sodeyu ve'enei choshesh mishum ribis keitzad. Hasichir sasod mechaber. If somebody leases a field from his friend, so he's a soicher, he's not a loiva, he's not borrowing the field, he's a soicher. What's the difference? Milva leitzonet. Now, when I borrow money, the money is mine. I could be mekadesh and isha with this money. I could be makdesh it. I can use it. Milva leitzonet. No. When I rent something, when I lease something, I'm a shomer pekadin. A soicher is one of the four shomerim. I'm not allowed to consume this thing that I acquired. I can't be Mekadesh and Isha with it. To the contrary, I have a responsibility to return it the way it is. Now, I'm allowed to use it, which will cause the item that I rented to depreciate on some level, and L'chura, I won't be responsible for that depreciation. We'll see more about that in the Gemara, but the difference between a Loiva and a Soicher is a Loiva is allowed to use and consume the item that he borrowed. A seicher is merely a shomer pekadin. A seicher can pay the masker for giving him the item to lease. A loiva, if he pays the malva, is a loiva beribis. So says the braisa, if somebody leased a field from his friend, basar kurim chitim lishana, and the arrangement was for every year that the tenant is going to be in the field, he's going to pay the landlord 10 kurim of chitim. And he told him, take the masayim zuz, give me another 200 zuz. At first glance, it sounds like he wants to now borrow 200 zuz, because you can't lease money. That was Rav Chama's mistake that he made on the top of the Yomid. I'm going to take this 200 zuz, I'm going to invest it into the field that I'm leasing. And what I'll do is I'll raise the rent. Instead of paying you 10 kurim a year, I'll pay you 12 kurim a year. Says the Gemara Mutter. This is something you're allowed to do. And although at first glance it sounds like This is Ribbis, because what he's asking him now is to give him a 200 zuz loan, and he's going to pay him for the loan. That lease payment that I make, which is 10 kurim chitin a year, I'm willing to raise that to 12 kurim chitin. So it's true, you could look at it as two independent transactions, but you could also look at it as one large transaction. And if we look at it as one large transaction, essentially what you have is ribbis. The halach is mutter. And the reason the halach is mutter is because the soicher clearly said va'afar nesena. Va'afar nesena means that I'm going to take the money that I'm borrowing and I'm going to invest it into the field. Being that there's another 200 zuz that are being invested into the field just went up in value. Meaning its ability to produce was just increased. So to the extent that it can now produce more, it's reasonable that the lease rate should go up as well. So we look at this extra 2 kurim chitin a year that the soicher is going to pay, not as ribbis for the loan, but as a usual and customary increase to his lease, which actually makes a lot of sense, being that more money was invested into the property. It's as if a landlord goes over to the tenant and he says, I'm willing to invest X amount of dollars into the property, which will enhance your business prospects, but I'm going to charge you for it. That obviously you can do. There was just one added step over here that almost made it look bad, and that is the masker gave the soicher the money, and he told the to invest it. But it's really one and the same, and we don't care about that. And there's no ribbis, there's no machzik ribbis, there's no haromas ribbis. We just look at it as if the property that the soicher is leasing went up in value. As a result, he has a right to charge a more rent. Avol, says the Braisa. You can't do this with a boat, nor can you do this with a store. Sometimes you can do it even with a store. To the extent that the money that's going to be taken by the soicher is going to go into the store. For example, you're going to decorate the store. You're going to hire an interior decorator to make the store look really nice. Make pictures. To give it a new mast. These are things that enhance the value of this asset that's being leased. As a result, you can now charge the soicher for it. Because if it's more valuable, it makes sense that the lease amount should go up as well. Chanos, lasser batzurasa, the tzav about inchi, because you're going to make pictures, vavi agrit fei, makes sense, you should charge more. Sfina lasla iskaya, kim the shvira iskaya, it has a better mass, fei agrit, it makes sense, then you should be able to charge more money. Sfinta, says the Gemara, regarding a boat. Amarav, agra upagra, if somebody leases a Sfina to somebody else. And Reuven owns a Sfina. Shimon is now leasing the Sfina from Reuven. He's allowed a double dip, is Reuven. He can charge him agra, a regular rental fee, upagra. You could also tell Shimon that I want you to take upon yourself responsibility that if something happens, an oinus, to the Sfina, you're going to be responsible. Now, a Seicher is one of the Dalet Shomrim. He's not a Shoyel, thus, he's Potem and Oinsen. The only one of the four Shomrim that's Chayv and Oinsen is a Shoyel. So a Seicher ordinarily is not Chayv and Oinsen. Stating that, Rav said that we know the rule, Masna Shem Mechinam Lias Keshem Esachar, a Shomer has a right to make a Tanai that I want to be treated like a Shomer whose chiyuve shmira is more chomer than what mine is should be. So a shay mechinim that ordinarily can swear and it'll be potig neve vaveda can make a tnai, I want to be like a shay mesachar. Essentially what Rav is saying is a soicher could do the same thing. A soicher could say that I'm willing to be a shay. But the truth is, we'll see in a moment, this is a little bit more complicated. Because if a soicher says he's going to be like a shay, being that the soicher is paying money to the masker, we may run into Mechzik Ribbis issues. So for now, Rav Zalocha, agro, pagro, a person that leases a Svino can agree to be a Soicher to make regular rental payments, upagra, and he can take upon himself any Chiyuvei Yotz. I'm only Rav Kana, Rav Asi, the Rav. So the Amiram jumped on Rav. Rav Kana, Rav Asi, they told him, no, I agro lo ipagro, ipagro lo yagro. You have to make up your mind. Either you as the masker can charge rent, or you can require the Soicher to take upon himself chiyuvei yotzin. But to do both, you can't do. And he's going to explain why in a moment. You know why he can't do both? Because the moment that the soicher takes upon himself achrayas yotzin, he becomes like a loiva. Because what's unique about a loiva? A loiva has responsibility to replace this item. An oinus can happen, it doesn't matter. Milvaloi tzadit, no? I have a right to destroy it, to consume it. I just have to make you whole whenever the due date of this loan comes. So if you're requiring the soicher to take upon himself chiyuvei shmira, like a shoyl, he now has chiyuvei yotzin. So you're treating him to a degree like a loiva. You're treating him like a loiva, you can't charge him money. because now you're running into ribbis. So that was where Rav Kana Rav Asi told Rav. So the Gemara says Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet. Amar Rav Sheishes, my time is Shasik Rav. Why was Rav quiet? But Shmilei Hoda Tanya, doesn't know the following brisa. What brisa? So once upon a time, there was such a business transaction similar to what we're talking about that would go down. It's actually the topic of the next mission, Dafayin Amad Beis, where people would give other people money to invest, or animals or something, and the arrangement was that the managing partner would have to give back to the investor, the one that provided the capital, exactly what he gave him. Meaning, if it went down in value, the manager wasn't accepting any risk, the investor wasn't any risk. You have to return the chayfetz b'asher usham, so in barzel, you have to give it back to him exactly the way it is, but at the same time, he gets to share in the profits. So from the investor's perspective, he has no losses, he has profits. It's very similar to ribbis. When you lend money, so you're guaranteed that your principal is going to come back. At least that's what the loan says is supposed to happen. Plus, you're returning a profit. Even though over here it wasn't really a milvah, it was an investment. But being that I'm protected on the downside and I have upside, it's like ribbis. It's what was known at the time as a transaction of tzoyin barzel. And the Mishnah says, "Ein mekablin soin barzam liyisrael." Avol mekablin soin barzam in anocher. With a goy, there's no iser ribis, and naturally, you could be mekabel soin barzam from a non-Jew. Avol amru, but stating that the Chachamim said, "Hashem par lechaveri." If somebody gives his friend the par of Amr Leini, he told him, "Arei paros chasu elai b'shoishim din." This is worth 30 dinar. Vani al chosela b'chodesh mutter. Meaning, I want to make sure that I get my 30 dinar back plus a rental fee or some profit sharing of Salah HaKadosh, it's okay. And the reason is, the fee shall saw dumb, because he didn't guarantee him his money back. We just said you did tell him that you're going to give him his money back. What he meant to say is when he said, I want you to give my money back, I want to make sure I get my para back, that means that if the para dies, you're going to have to make me whole. But what if the para doesn't die and it just depreciates? It goes down in value with time, which naturally the para gets older, it did more work, it has more miles. So at some point, it's going to go down in value. That the manager doesn't have to give back to the investor. What he's taking upon himself to give back is la'achar misa, but michayim not. So the point is that it's true. Tzoyin barzel is aser. You cannot get involved in a business arrangement where Reuven and Shimon, Reuven provides the capital to Shimon. Shimon has a responsibility to give back to Reuven dollar for dollar exactly what he took from Reuven, plus some profit sharing. That's ribbis. Because even though it wasn't done derech milva, it was done derech mekach u'memkar, it was a business transaction. There's even a name for it. It's in the textbook. It's called nechzitz en barzel. It doesn't matter. But the point is that from the risk-reward profile, where the investor is not assuming risk and he's getting upside, that creates a ribbis type of transaction, because that's what ribbis is, and therefore it's going to be aser. But it's only aser, says the Braisa, aval amru, that's the second part of this halacha, that if the investor takes zero risk, but if the investor has some risk, his risk is just mitigated, then it's going to be okay. So for example, if the manager says that if it dies, I'll make you whole, but if it's alive and it goes down in value, I'm not going to make you whole, that's enough to say that it shouldn't be ribbis. So says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes told Rav, or he commented, I don't know why Rav was quiet. My time is Shasak Rav. Rav, we know, was a Shaskin, so sometimes we had to guess maybe why Rav was quiet. But there's a whole discussion here. My time is Shasak Rav. Why was he quiet? He could have answered very simply that a Sfina is the same thing. Meaning, even in the case where the person rented the Sfina and he took upon himself Chiyuvei Yoytzin, the Chiyuvei Yoytzin was, if an Oynes happened, if the ship sunk, if something happened to the Sfina, I'm going to make you whole. So it's true, I took upon myself Chiyuvei Yoytzin and I'm paying you rent. The kasha is, isn't that Tzoyin Barzel? Isn't that a situation where from the investor standpoint, he's guaranteed to get his money back, plus he's getting a return? So even though it's Derech Mekach HaMemkar, at the very least it should be Ribbis D'Rabbanan, the Teretz is no. Because although the Seicher took upon himself some responsibility, he didn't take upon himself all the responsibility. And if he didn't take upon himself all the responsibility, it's not Tzoyin Barzel, because that's a carve-out in the halachas of Tzoyin Barzel. Again, what was the price? Af al pisha amru ein mekablim tzoyin barzel. Aval amru. The aval amru is the carve-out, where it's a real tzoyin barzel, where the manager takes all the risk, That's where it's awesome. But if there's some sheared risk, it's not going to be a problem. So Rav Kahana felt that in Rav's case, maybe there was a sheared risk. So what's the bottom line? Can I rent my yacht to you? You're going to pay me rent. Plus, you're going to secure, guarantee me on some level that I'm going to get it back. Rav Papa said, you can. Hilchas asvina agra upagra. The halach is you can't do it. V'nagu, b'nei kufra, and in fact, the balei sfina, they used to do this. They would charge agra b'shas mashicha. At the time of the mashicha, they would set the agra, they would set the rental rate, pagra b'shas shvira, and then if something ever happened to it, they would require the person to make him, milsa. It sounds like Rapapa was bringing a raya from the b'nei kufra. Rapapa said, the halach is sfina, agra upagra, v'nagu b'nei kufra, as if we're going to bring a raya from the minig. Maybe the minig is a bad minig. So the Gemara said, Meshud HaMasih is a tanya minog. No, he was just proving that that's the halacha. Not that there's a raya from the minig, of course not. But it happens to be the minig, and you know why it's the minig? Because that's the halacha, and the people, they follow the halacha. Amr Ravan and Amr Shmuel. Mois shal yusoymen, mutu lahal voison beribis. So we're going to digress for a moment, and then we're going to come right back to the topic that we've been discussing. So Rav Anan said in the name of Shmuel that if there's an apotropos who's been entrusted to watch Mois shal yusoymen, which ordinarily means yusoymen ktanim, so they lost their father. Right now they inherited wealth. They have no know-how of how to invest this money. So Bezdin would appoint an apotropos, and apotropos now would oversee their business transactions until they got older, at which point they were able to take over by themselves. And we've seen from learning in Mars, we had it in Masechtas Kittim, we had it earlier in Bava Metzia, that Chachamim made certain kulas when it comes to Mois Shel Yesoimim that we don't have in other areas. So certain Hilchas Choshen Mishpat don't apply when we're dealing with Mois Shel Yesoimim. So this is a classic Halacha L'maisa example. So Amr Rav Nanan Amar Shmuel Mois Shel Yesoimim Mutal Avesim Ribis. You're allowed to use Mois Shel Yesoimim to lend ribis. So a man died, he left over a keren, $1 million. Now there's an apotropos, his job is to invest this money so that when the Yesoimim get older, they'll have money to get married, whatever it is that they're going to need. So the apotropos is allowed to become a money lender. He can take the money, he can lend it, he can charge ribis. One second. Because they're Yesoimim, now we're going to be machshel them with Isser, meaning if they're going to charge interest and they're going to use that money, they're being over Isser Ribis. To the contrary of Nachman, say, Yasmi, the Achli, the Lavdadu, Yisoyim that eat things that don't belong to them, Lezo Basa Shifkaya, they should follow their parents to the grave, meaning they deserve to die. There's no way in the world that such a kula would make any sense. Amalei, so he told him, Emily Izu, Gufad of the Hechahava, Ravana, you heard this halach in the name of Shmuel. You must have misinterpreted. Something happened that you didn't understand. Because there's no way that the Amoyer Shmuel paskind that Mois Shel Yesoimim mutal havois and ribis, you could be over real ribis with Mois Shel Yesoimim. I'm going to tell them it's true. I have to come clean. I'm going to tell you what happened. Who duda the bnei mar ukva, David bnei mar Shmuel. Shmuel was an apotropos for a dud. A dud is a kettle. It's a large metal pot that was used to cook. And the sons of mar ukva, who were Yesoimim, had this kettle that Shmuel was watching. And Shmuel, to generate income for the Yesoimim, tokel v'yavle, tokel v'shakule. So what he would do is, he would rent this kettle out to people that were looking for a kettle, and he would charge them. But what he would do is, he would weigh it before he would rent it out. And then when they returned it, he would weigh it again, and he would see if it was missing some of the metal, and he would charge the soicher for the metal that was missing. So what he did was shakel agra, the shakel pchasa. He was charging them a regular rental fee, $100 a month. Plus, if anything got ruined, he would charge them for that as well. And we know, we just said the halacha yagra le pchasa, vi pchasa le yagra. So you're not allowed to charge rent, or at least that was Shmuel's opinion. And you can't charge for this depreciation, for any copper that's missing. That's something ordinarily you wouldn't be allowed to do. It's true, it's only ribis derabanan, and it's for that reason Shmuel was mekel when it came to Mois Shel Yesoimim. So he didn't say Mois Shel Yesoimim, go start charging regular usury, 18% interest with penalties and fees. No. That business Shmuel wasn't going into, even on behalf of the Yesoimim. But such a ribis, which is a ribis derabanan, where he's charging agra and pchasa, which gets involved in this halacha of Tzayim Barzel, which is a mishnah, it's something you're not allowed to do. It's only Yesoimim derabanan, over here Shmuel was mekel. But Amalei, so the Gemara says, the story continues. continues. Rav Nachman told Rav Anan, "Chiha afilu b'taknidu nami shari l'mevid." That's not a problem. Such a transaction would be mutter even not for Yisoyimim, even for Gedolim. Taknidu is Meloshin Zakein. Dalit and Zion interchange very often in Aramaic. Even people with long white beards are allowed to do this, even if they're not Yisoyimim. Because as long as the renter is assuming some of the risk, or as long as the yesoimim, the person that owns the kettle, is assuming some of the risk, the kamadamikli nachshabat sedman, which in this case he is, because the kettle slowly, as it's used every time, loses some of its value, and that part of the value that was being lost, Shmuel was not transferring over to the renter, meaning the owner, in this case the assignment, were assuming some risk. That's enough for it not to be a regular Tzayim Barzal, because that was the halacha. Im mekabel Tzayim Barzal miYisrael, aval amru. What was the aval amru? That as long as I'm taking some risk, me, the money partner, is taking some risk, that's enough that it should. Tzayim Barzal is where there's no risk on behalf of the money partner. All the risk is to the managing partner. The money partner just has upside. So that's very much like a milva. If it's very much like a milva, it's for that reason that it's going to be usher. But over here, where there was some risk that was being taken, because although the risk of losing some of the metal, meaning the metal falling off, we're going to weigh it, and if it's missing some of the metal, that the owner of the pot wasn't assuming, but as long as the depreciation he was going to assume, Shmuel wasn't going to make him hold dollar for dollar. He didn't say, I gave you $1,000 pot, you're giving me back $1,000 pot. That wasn't the arrangement. The arrangement was, I'm going to weigh it. If it's missing some copper, you're gonna... So to a certain degree, he's assuming he's taking the risk. But being that there is risk from both sides, that's enough for it to be looked at more as a business transaction, like an iska. And the bottom line is, we do not look at it as being machzik ribs. Amar Rav Bar Shel, Amar Rav Chizda Bar Amila, Amar Rav Bar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Sheishes. Moishal Yisoyimim Mutal Avosam Karav L'Schav Rachik L'Hafsid. A very similar halacha that we... what we just said, that although ordinarily you cannot get involved in an iska transaction where the investor gets all the upside and no downside because it's machzik ribis, it's karev l'schar from the investor's perspective because it makes money, he gets it, but it's rachak behefzit because it loses money, he's not going to lose anything. But moishal yisayim, you can't. Again, this same halacha, tana rabban and karev l'schar rachak behefzit rosh. If two people get involved in a business transaction, one person puts up the money, the other person's going to be the manager, and the deal is that from the investor's standpoint, the money man, he's karev l'schar, he has upside, rachak behefzit rosh. Right, we had the case of the iska. The iska was pal gamilva, pal v'kal, and they split evenly the upside and the downside. That's where it's okay. But if it's karv l'schar, rachel l'hefzid, it's not good. Rasha, karv l'hefzid, rachel l'schar. What about the other way around? What if the money person is willing to take upon himself disproportionate amount of downside? Then he's a chassid. Karev l'zeh l'zeh, rachek mizeh l'mizeh. If they divide both the profits and the losses equally, zuhi midas kol adam. Amalei rabbi l'rav Yosef. Ani zuzdi yasmi heichi abdin l'hu. If a man dies, he leaves over yisayim, and he also leaves over an estate. So how do we use it? What do we do with the money? Amalei told him, esrin l'lu l'beidina. We take the money, we give it to Bezdin. V'yavina l'zuzha zuzha, and Bezdin distributes the money to the yisayim over a period of time. Amalei say, told him back, v'akakal yakarna. That's not a good idea, because if you're going to do that, eventually the principal is going to be consumed. You don't want to kill the golden goose. So it's not something you want to do. At some point, there's going to be no carrot. You have to invest the money. They told him, you're right. Mar hechi avid. He told him, but kinon gavet the islay the have a pricha. We find a person that has good collateral, someone that has fragments of gold. We take gold from him, and we invest the money. Meaning, we want a collateral for this investment, which is strike one. That's not something you can do, because now you're already going down the ribbis road. Not just that, the way we arrange this investment is that the investor is guaranteed to get his money back, or at the very least, if there's losses in this venture, no losses for me, you get to keep all the losses. But if there's profits, I'm karev l'schar, I get to share in the profit. So you do something along those lines, something that ordinarily would have been usher because of ribbis d'rabbanan. We just said karev l'schar v'rachak l'hefzid is a rasha, and here there's even collateral. Doesn't matter, but for the assignment, we're going to be meiko. Again, this is a kula for the assignment. We're okay with this ribbis d'rabbanan. Aval davar mesuyim lay, but the collateral, you don't want to take a davar mesuyim. You don't want to take something that people recognize, like an animal, Dilma Pikadin, because maybe it really doesn't belong to this person that gave you the collateral, it's a Pikadin. Vasimarit, you have a Siman of a Shogli, and someone will be able to come one day and give a Siman and take it. So you want a piece of gold, something that doesn't have a Siman, something that there's no way anybody will ever claim. It's like this, we're guaranteed that the assignment will always have this collateral. So they're protected on the downside. plus the terms of the agreement is very much pro the investor. Again, something ordinarily you wouldn't do because it looks a lot like a milva, but for the Yisayimim, you do it. So you tell me, every time there's Yisayimim that have money, you have to find someone that has bars of gold. And what if you can't find that person? Says the Gemara, so don't let the Yisayimim's money rot. I didn't mean dafka this. What I meant to say is, find someone that has good collateral. Mehemen, he's an honest person. V'shama dina de raisa, he keeps dina de raisa. V'le mekabel shamta de rabbanon. I mean, good luck finding this person also. But he's also someone that never accepted a nidoy de rabbanon. V'yavinu la'alev le'dina. And you go to Bezdin, and you give it to him. And when you give it to him in Bezdin, we make the arrangement. Karev l'schar, rochek l'hefsid. And in that case, it's going to be okay. So the next Mishnah continues on this note. Zok the Mishnah. So this is the halacha that we just mentioned. That there was once upon a time a business transaction. It wasn't a loan. It was a business transaction. Reuven and Shimon are going to be partners. Reuven is going to provide the capital. Shimon is going to be the managing partner. And the arrangement is that kol achrayas hanechosim ala mekabel. It's the top line in Rashi. That the mekabel, the manager, has 100% responsibility. There's an element of recourse there. He has to make sure that the investing partner is going to get his money back. Plus, he gets to share in the upside. So from the investor's standpoint, there's no downside, there's upside. It's very much like a milva. I mean that it's very much like a milva. It's awesome. From a goy, this is not an issue. V'lov and mehen, you're allowed to borrow money from a goy with ribbis. Umal v'naisam, you can also lend money to a goy with ribbis. V'chem v'gertosha, the same is true with a gertosha. Who's a gertosha? So there's a machlokes rishonim, different places, you find different definitions of a gertosha, but the poshut definition of a gertosha is a non-Jew that took upon himself to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Goyim today are considered Mitzvah V'Oisah for the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, although the Gemara says even when they observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, they get schar like an Eina Mitzvah V'Oisah. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel. It's a Gemara in Shor Shanogach Dal V'Hei, Mesechtes Bava Kama. But a Goy still has an obligation to keep his Zayin Mitzvahs. When a Goy keeps his Zayin Mitzvahs, there's an element of Geiris, B'skarov and Sefer. There's a Ger Tzedek, there's a Ger Toshav. It's as if he was Megayer on some level, not the same level of Geiris, of a Ger Tzedek, but there's an element of Geiris. Bottom line, a Ger Toshav is treated like a non-Jew that you're allowed to borrow and lend to him Beribis. More about that in tomorrow's daf. And the last line, which is completely tomorrow's daf, Malvi Yisrael Ma'isr Shal Akum Midasim Akum Avaloi Midas Yisrael. So again, this is the topic of the daf. Eim Mekablin, Soim Marzim Yisrael. So Ketigim Ar Lemeimer Debeshusa De Mekabel Kaima. It sounds like if somebody engages in a Tzoyin Barzal transaction, the managing partner, who now has the Tzoyin Barzal, let's say it was animals that he's supposed to raise, he now owns it, meaning I'm the Bailan. It belongs to me. And incidentally, there's a lot of lumbus and super lumbus. If you take a look in the Atarish Shmuel, he has a nice haktoma to this sugya. The haktoma is on Daf Samach Tes. But he does intros every now and again. And his intro was on the lumbus of how this works. That when a person takes upon himself achrayas, he now becomes the bailan. Meaning all the managing partner really did was he took upon himself responsibility to make sure that it's going to be returned whole. It's not really his milva, for example. Is lohitzah nit? It really belongs to the loiva right now. I gave it to you. Your responsibility is not to give it back to me. Your responsibility is to just make me whole, value-wise, dollar for dollar. Over here, I'm giving you tzayin. You're going to give the tzayin back to me. But you see over here, there's an element of the b'shusa de mekabel kaima. There's a lumbus here. That the one who's achroi for the chayfetz, he's the bailam on the chayfetz. Veraminu. But the Gemara says, I'll ask you a stira from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Bechayres. I'm a kabel tzayin barzel min anachem. If somebody gets involved in a tzayin barzel transaction with a guy, v'lodos peturim min abechayra, and then that animal that he took from the Nachri had a child, and that child is a Bechar, there's no halacha Bechar. Because we look at the owner of the animal as being the Nachri, and a Nachri's animal doesn't have Kedushas Bechar. It's only a Yisrael's animal that has Kedushas Bechar. So what do you see? That even though the Yid was Mekabel Tzoyim Barzal, who's the real owner of the animal? It's the Nachri that's the owner of the animal. So it's a stira. From our Mishnah, it's Mashma, a Mekabel Tzoyim Barzal, the Yisrael, Mishnah, Ribbis. What does it mean it's Ribbis? What you're saying is that I'm like a loiva. I took possession of the chayfetz, and therefore I can't give you interest. If I rent your chayfetz, I can pay you a meschiros because it's yours, it's not mine. But from the fact that we are saying it's ribis, that means it belongs to the manager, the person that was mekabel tzayim barazim. Being that I took achrayas for it, it's mine. I'm not allowed to give you ribis for it because it's treated like a milva loitzah nitno. So how does you reconcile that with this mishnah mesachtes b'chayres that says that if someone's mekabel tzayim barazim from a guy, v'lodeis p'turim and abachayra, if it belongs to the mekabel, if it's the managing partner's animal, he's a yid, there should be a chiyah b'chayra. Elamai, it belongs to the investor. So we have a stira. Amar Abayi, like, catch, hadam mekabel unzavazul, hadam mekabel unzavazul. There's two different types of tzayim barzels. There's a tzayim barzel where the manager partner takes upon himself unzav, and this happens, he's going to be the achroi. If it goes down in value, it depreciates, this azula, he's going to be achroi. And there's an example where fakert, he doesn't take upon that achroi. So depending on who's the achroi, this is the point, who's the one that was mekabel unzavazula? If the managing partner was mekabel unzavazula, then he's the owner. That's what our mission is talking about. And that's why this is going to be ribis. If the investing partner was mekabel unzavazula, if an oinus or if it goes down in value, it's the investor that's going to lose out. That's the Mishnah Mesachtes Bechayres, where we say the halacha is that if the animal belonged to a guy, the halacha is that it's going to be potter min ha-bechayr. Amale Rava, but Rava told him, e the kabel alem mara unzavazula. If the owner, the investor, took upon himself unzavazula, tzayim barzel, then it's not tzayim barzel. Tzayim barzel is by definition where the recipient, the manager, took upon himself achrayas. So it's an oxymoron. You can't have a tzayim barzel where the investor took upon himself unzavazula. By definition, a tzayim barzel transaction is where the manager takes upon himself responsibility. To the extent that the investor, the one that put up the capital, took upon himself achrayas, then that's just not tzayim barzel. Oy, nachakasha. If you're going to tell me that there's two types of tzayim barzels, in one, it's viewed as if the manager is the owner. In the other, it's viewed as if the person that originally owned it is the owner, then add the Tani Seif, our Mishnah, which wanted to give an example of where Tzayim Barzel is Aser Mishum Ribbis, and Tzayim Barzel is Motim Mishum Ribbis. So the ratio was A Mekabon Tzayim Barzel Mi Yisrael. What was the Seifah? Ava Mekabon Tzayim Barzel Minha Akum. So add the Tani Seif, Ava Mekabon Tzayim Barzel Minha Akum. Why do we have to differentiate between a Yid and an Eina Yehudi, live like the listening by the day, but met Varma Murmboy Kabbalah once of Azula, that when is it true that it's Aser? That's if the owner didn't take upon himself once of Azula. Who has the Achrayas once of Azula? The manager does. Ava Kabbal Mara once of Azula, Shapir Dami. Say, I have a case where Tzayim Barzel is Mutti Mishom Ribbis, even if he's a Yid, even if both parties, Ruben and Shimon. That two yidden, as long as the mara was makabel unzavazul, ela omarava idividul makabel mara unzavazul. There's no such thing as a tzayim barzel where the mara, the owner, was makabel unzavazul. Tzayim barzel by definition means the manager was makabel unzavazul. That's why our Mishnah didn't talk about it. And the Mishnah b'chayres hamakabel tzayim barzel and anachrim vlad is pnum b'chayres is not talking about where the guy who's the owner took upon himself achrayas. That wouldn't be tzayim barzel. So that's not what is being discussed there. V'gabi b'chayres, haynu tam devlad is p'tur mena b'chayres. So, hajr kushal v'duchte, we have a steer. Here it's mashma, that who's the real owner? The recipient, the manager. Thus, there's an esaribis. There it's mashma, who's the real owner? The mara, the owner. That's why p'tur mena b'chayres, because the mara was a non-Jew. The mara says, the reason he's potter there is for a very specific halach in hilchas b'chayres. Because kiv and dilo yov zuzi. What would happen if the manager does not do what he's supposed to do based on the terms of the agreement? He doesn't make the owner whole, meaning he doesn't give the guy his money. So asin nachri, the nachri has a right, tafas le behema, he can take it. Viloi mashkech le behema, let's say he can't find the behema, tafas lu the vladis, he can take the vladis. Meaning there's some element of shibud that the tzayim barzel has towards the nachri. See, even though when the nachri gave the animals to the managing partner in a tzayim barzel transaction, we look at the manager as the new owner, but there's a shibud, there is a connection between the animal and the original owner. Because to the extent that he doesn't get paid, he has a right to claim it. It's havale yad nachri b'enso. We look at it as if there's a yad nachri b'enso. Somewhere there's a guy involved in the ownership of this animal, and that's a halacha, chiddush and luchas b'chayrus. The chol yad nachri be'emtza patur mina b'chayrus. As long as it's a yad nachri be'emtza, that's enough that you should be patur mina b'chayra. And it's for that reason that halacha is patur. So you're not patur mina b'chayra because we don't look at the manager. Of course, the manager is the owner. He's the owner. Thus, it's similar to a milva, and that's why the Mishnah said he mekamen slim baris in Yisrael mibnei shu ribis, because it's very much milvadik, and that's why it's ribis. It's not ribis ketutza, by the way, because even if you want to argue that it's so much the property of the manager that it should be mamish anova, it still wouldn't be ribis deraisa. It's not ribis ketutza. Who said there's going to be profits? So it's for sure not ribis deraisa, but it's definitely ribis derabanan, and it could be it's even a real milva. Because the Bereshu said the Mekabel Kaima, some of the lumbus that we said before, whoever's the Balachrayas, he's really viewed as the owner. Ay, oy, bazoy, how come we say that if the animal originally belonged to a guy, there's going to be no Chiyav B'chayra? It's because of the special halacha of Yad Nachri Be'emtza. And Yad Nachri Be'emtza is enough to say that there should be no halachas of B'chayra. So we had over here, really, if you think yesterday's daf, straight through today's daf, we had a few examples of where, although ribis is super chamor, but there are examples where there can be a heter to lend or borrow money to ribis. So yesterday we spoke at length about the heter iska. There were a few interesting cases that we had at the end of yesterday's daf. We'll get to that in a moment, but let's stay on topic first. Today's daf. So we had here a halacha, ma'is shal yisoymin, mutter lahalvoysam beribis. So if somebody dies, there's yisoymin, there's a keren, whoever's job it is to oversee the investments of the keren, there's certain coolers where he's allowed to lend money beribis. From our Gemara, it sounded like ribis de raisa for sure not. That was what Rav Anan had originally said over the name of Shmuel. Rav Nachman said that yisoymin, that eat something that doesn't belong to them, they should follow their fathers to the grave. No way that's what Rav... what Shmuel meant to paskin. But ribis derabanan, where it's karv l'schar, rochek min ahefsid, or tzoyim barz, all these types of cases, this is where it would manifest itself, where it's not a ribis derais, it could be a tzoyim, would be okay. Now this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Yerideya Simen Kuf Samach. Kol ribis derabanan, mutter, b'mo'i shal yisoyimin, oi shal hektish anien, so there would seem at first glance to be a huge kula in Shulchan Aruch. That if you're dealing with ribis derabanan, and it's in the context of a mitzvah, such as Moishal Yisoyimim, Hekdesh Ani, and Talmud Torah Tzarek Pesach Knesses, it seemed like it would be okay. Says the Ramah, V'chein Noegin Lahakel. And that's the Minig Yisrael. The Minig Yisrael is that we are in fact Mekel. The Shach says, U'bechol Mekoy Meshayohi Yisi. I says, Ramah, I'm not sure where you saw this Kula. But wherever I've been, Leiru Yisi Minig Zeh. V'gam Chakarti V'darashti V'loy Shamati Shenoegin Kein. I've never heard this. So says the Shach, even though the Ramah said, V'chein Noegin Lahakel, Shach says, I never saw this. I never saw this Minig. So where I've been in my Kreisen, the Minig is actually to be machmer. And the poskim all speak out that the makar to this shach, the reason to be machmer, and didn't it sound like from the Gemara that we just learned it's okay? So what would even be the basis to this chumra the shach? The basis to the chumra the shach would be a Rashi. It's the bottom Rashi in our sugyo and daf ayin amar aleph. If you remember, the Gemara said that what do you do with moishol yisoyimim? You try to find a gavra, the mashbu, someone that has good collateral. He has a good reputation. He listens to the Raisas. He listens to the Rabbanon. What you do is you then give him the money. He's going to be the managing partner who's going to be paying ribis. Where do you do it? You do it in Bezdin. Zok Rashi, last Rashi on the Amid. Bebedino, Bifnei Bezdin. Rashi added a commentary, like he always does to the Gemara. You know why Bifnei Bezdin? Because Bezdin has a special koyach. They could decide what money belongs to who. It works with the halacha of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. It's for that reason the Shach said there's no way you could do it, Bizman Hazeh. Because we don't have a Bezdin anymore that's Bekoyach for Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And it's for that reason he says, Lo Risi Min Exer, you can't be Seimach on it. Meaning, I understand where it's coming from. It's coming from a Gemara. But read Rashi. Rashi said clearly that it only works with Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. But the truth is that if you look in the Rajba and the Rosh, they both argue with Rashi. They say that the reason it was done in Bezdin is that's just a practical way to do it. But as it relates to Hefker, Bezdin, it has nothing to do with Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And the Nafkamina, of course, would be Bezdin. Zman Hazeh. The Zman Hazeh would be the Nafkamina, and that's why Halacha L'maisa, the Ramah says that's the Minig. So what's the bottom line? The Ramah said the Minig is, yeah. The Shach said, B'chol Mokoy Meshe Yoyisi, Lo Yoyisi Minig Zeh. V'gam Chokarti, V'darashti, V'lo Yisham Ati, Shenei Egin Kein. The Ramah is based on the Rashi and the Rashi now is sugya that Beit Dina was more for practicality. The Shach is based on Rashi that said Beit Dina because you need the Kayach of Bez and a Hefker Bez and a Hefkin. So what's the bottom line? So I saw all the Pesachim quote a tshuva from the Noid of Yehuda. The Noid of Yehuda in Madura Kama Yeredeya Simin Mem. And it's just really nice. We always speak out that when you learn a Tshuva's Night of Beauty, you have to go through the beginning because there's always a little bit of drama and he builds it out beautifully. But I think there's one nice knetch that you can take from the opening comment that the Noi Debihuda makes to this Tshuva. He writes as follows, Mechtovei kibalti erev Shabbos kodesh achach hatzoyis. Said, I got your letter, which was discussing this halacha, heter iska benichzei yisoyim, dealing with rivers in the context of yisoyim. He says, I received the letter erev Shabbos after chatzoyis, v'lei hoili p'nai la'ayin boi, v'amarti, and I said, yoyim Shabbos hu yoyim manoyach, la'ayin, tomorrow, Shabbos, to Yom Menucha, I'm not going to have so many tirdis. I'll sit down, I'll go through your tshuva, your shaiva, I'll see what to do. Umin ha-shamayim ikfuni, but min ha-shamayim, it wasn't meant to be. Ki bini, my son, ha-yeled, ha-no'im v'nechmat, ki mar shmul sheyichye, enoi b'kav ha-briya. It says, my son, the yeled, my young child is not so healthy, v'hu misgageya alai, and he needs me to be with him. V'lo yocholti lozuz mimeno. I couldn't move from his bedside, the iyamti b'mechtavi v'lfum riyatas. In the mail, I couldn't sit down and go through your shayla properly. It was something that I had to do quickly. And I think what you take from this is the Noi de Yehuda, who was the Godol Hadar, he was the Poisek Hadar, he was the Askin Hadar, he was Mishichmei v'mailo gavaya mikolam, both physically and figuratively speaking. And he said he had to spend Shabbos with his son, who was misgageya olai. I couldn't leave his bedsides. I didn't have an opportunity to give the proper attention to the tshuva. This is what it means, taking care of a child. But at the end, he goes through a little tshuva with regards to whether or not there is a heter, ribis derabanan, when it comes to Moshe Yisoyim. And at the end, he says, it is. Of course, it's Tali and Rashi in the sugya. And he writes, he says, I've done this myself many times. Shenasati zuzi deyasmi, I gave Moish al Yisoyimim korev l'schar, v'rochek l'hefzid, v'chein kosafti b'shtar isko shasisi ima mekabel sodu zu deyasmi, v'shekibu korev l'schar. So he comes out, he says, v'chein ani nohakti kama pomin b'yoisi b'eretz meladati. And this is quoted by all the poiskim, halacha l'maisa. So you have to Benoit of Yehuda, the God of Adar, who passed him, that it's okay, meaning he was machria, like the minig that the Ramah means, and not the minig that the Shach means. That's the first daughter. The second thing worth mentioning is at the end of yesterday's daf, we went through it really, really quickly, but we promised that we'd get back to it. The Gemara said a very big kiddush, that even though ribbis, of course, is asr, I think we got that at this point, but ribbis that's asr is only if the ribbis goes from the loiva to the malva. But if the ribbis doesn't go from the loiva to the malva, then there's going to be no iser ribbis. So for example, if a third person, a shlish, gives ribbis to a malva to induce him to lend money to somebody else interest-free, or if there's going to be money trading hands from the loiva, meaning the loiva is going to pay more than what he received, but he's not going to give it to the malva, he's going to give it to someone else. Like the Gemara's case with Abba Mori Bar Papa, where the loiva borrowed money interest-free from Rapapa, and he gave wax to Rapapa's son, Abba Mori. So there was a ribbis from the loiva standpoint, but not from the malva standpoint. So you have ribbis mitzada malva, and not mitzada loiva, or mitzada loiva, but mitzada malva. As long as it doesn't go from the loiva to the malva, that's this chiddush that we had in the daf. The halach in that case is going to be that there's going to be no iser ribbis. And the truth is that it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down halacha l'maisis. It's one of these gemaras, when you see it at first, sentence, there's no way that's going to be the halacha. You have to look in the Rishonim. Now, you have to look in the Rishonim because there are certain caveats and limitations to this halacha. But the general raw halacha, the dina de gemara that we had here on the top of Samach Tes on the Breis, is brought down in the gemara. It's brought down in Yerudei Simon Kuf Samach Sivkot and Yud Gimel. Mutter Leimel Chaveir Heilach Zuz. A person will tell his friend, take this Zuz, the Hilva Asar Dinar Lepoini. I'll pay you to go lend money to somebody interest-free. For who? exception, the immediate caveat is you can't do it as a quid pro quo. I'll like make the deal with the loiva. Listen, I'll pay interest as long as you pay me back. That's awesome. But what the place can do, speak out, is that if the loiva goes right afterwards and says, listen, you know, you did me such a nice favor, you gave him $1,000 to give me a loan, here's $1,000, I'm allowed to take it. As long as that wasn't the upmach originally, as long as it wasn't done in a quid pro quo fashion, it's something that in fact is going to be okay. And then the Mechaber brings the same exact halacha in the reverse. One tremendous chiddush that the Ramah brings is Yesh Oimim. You have to read this Ramah inside. The Mutali Yisrael Loim L'Chaveira. A Yid is allowed to tell his friend, who's another Yid, Leich V'Havli Mois Miplein Yisrael Beribis. I want you to be my shliach. Go borrow money from somebody else and pay him ribis. So this is ribbis between the loiv and the malva, although it's being done via the shliach. Says the Ramah, it's mutter. Because we just said ribbis is only asr if it goes from the loiv to the malva. Here it's not going from the loiv to the malva. Either is a shliach. It's enshlich v'arver. It's enshlich and barver, there's no problem. So once we establish that the Isser Ribbis is only from the Leiva to the Malva, so if you do it Aydei Shlich, it's going to be okay, because enshlich and barver, and then the Ramah says, Ve'ein lefarsim hadover b'fnei ama oretz, v'chein iker, afal gift yesh mefakfim behetez, even though people are mefakfik, as you would expect, u'machmirim lo'isroi, yesh lismoich olav le'isat tzorech. It's something that you have a right to rely on le'isat tzorech. The makar to this Ramah is Mordechai, who brings it in the name of Rashi. So he heard a psak halacha. It's not from a Rashi in Shas, it's not a Rashi in Chumash. It's a Rashi in a tshuva, where he paskin this halacha, that once we establish ribis is only aser from the leiva to the malva, it's going to be mutter, even if it's done derech shliach. Lamaisa, the Gra brings that this, he brought a certain poiskin, argue as you would expect, and the Taz said that it's a Toyas Gadol. There is a Talmud Toya Kosvi. In fact, it was written by a Talmud Toya. The Af Shadarki Moshe Bach Veshach Kaimu says the Gra that even though the Darki Moshe, that's the Ramah, he brought it here in Ramah, and he brings in the Darki Moshe on the tour, and the Bach and the Shach also bring it. Li Loi Nehira, I don't agree. The Toyas Gomeru. So the Gra said it's a Toyas. So there's this controversial psak from Rashi floating out there that it could be once you step. Stop from the labor to the malva. Even a shliach wouldn't impact that, because even if there's a shliach, you're going to say in shliach dvar aveir. And one final interesting kula when ribbis. So we spoke about iska, we spoke about moishal yisoyimim, we spoke about where the ribbis is not from the labor to the malva. And that is, what about a corporation? Can a corporation lend money beribbis, or can a corporation borrow money beribbis? So there's a famous tshuva for a moishal. Yesterday we spoke out yeridei chelik beis. Tshuva Samach Beis. This is Yerudei Chelik Beis, Tshuva Samach Gimel. It's the next Tshuva. Samach Beis is where he talks about Heter Iska, and Samach Gimel is where he talks about a savings bank. And he's talking there specifically, and this is important, he's talking about where the bank is the loiva, not the malva. A bank is the malva would be if you're buying a house, you go to a bank for a mortgage. So the bank is the malva, they're the lender, you're the borrower. Bank is the loiva is when you give money to a savings bank, and you're waiting for your interest. You're going to get interest on your money. So you're the malva, the bank is the loiva. So Rav Moshe says, the Gevaldik Chiddush, Rav Moshe says that if the bank is the loiva, like a savings bank, even if it's owned by Jews and it's operate, it doesn't matter. There is no iser ribbis. And the basis for Rav Moshe's tshuva is, you know, people say over sometimes a chiddush for Rav Moshe. It sounds like it was a svara. And then you'll sit in Beis Medrash and you'll dingzich with the svara, with the magic words, mechateisa, or something along those lines, and you want to deflect the big chiddush that the Gadol Hadar of last generation said. But if you go through the tshuva inside, it's based on pages and pages of sugyus and ksubas. So before anybody argues with this psak halacha for Amosha, it would behoove him to go through the second half of ksubas, and there's a couple of few hundred block gemara you may want to go through with rishonim and paiskim and everything before you take a shot at it. But the bottom line is, Rav Moshe's chiddush was that the definition of a malva and a loiva as it relates to the halachas of ribbis is a loiva is someone that's mishabed gufoy to this loan. So there's a person out there who has a responsibility to make sure that this loan is paid. And when a corporation borrows money, there is no one person that's responsible. The corporation is viewed as an entity in it for itself. The entity is the borrower, and being that the entity is the borrower, the entity is not a person. So there's no shibud aguf on an entity. It's a vehicle that was created for accounting purposes and to protect you from liability. But it's not a human being. There's no flesh and bones. There's no person. So there's no eved loiva le'ishmalva. There is no real loiva from that standpoint. And it's based on that, Rav Moshe said, there's going to be no ribbis. Meaning, you can argue that the way you look at a corporation from a halacha standpoint is based on its shareholders. So if you had a corporation where all the shareholders are yidden, so you would say that maybe in that case, Jewish shareholders is a bunch of Jewish loivas. If I own 5% of this bank, so I'm a 5% borrower over here. So maybe you run into shaylus. And that would really get involved in a whole different sugya. If you have a company where there's a Jewish partner, there's a non-Jewish partner, is there going to be a heter ribbis, not a heter ribbis? Gets involved in Breira sugya, something that's discussed by the Poskim. But Moshe said today's corporations are very different. It's interesting, the Shuva was written to one of the Frischvasses from London, and he wanted to know, Shaila with an insurance company in English, he says, I'm not sure how it works in England, how the companies are set up and how they're structured. I know it works in the United States. So Rav Moshe said, if it's done there the same way it's done here, then there's no issue, because today the corporation is the borrower. And you could be a shareholder, you could be a majority shareholder, you could be a chief executive officer, it doesn't matter. If the bank runs out of money, the people cannot come now that have accounts in this bank and go to all the shareholders and tell them, listen, you own 10% of this bank, I want you to pay me. Obviously, you can't do that. Meaning, the underlying shareholders do not have any Shibir Aguf. And to the extent that they don't have any Shibir Aguf, the Halacha is not going to be responsible. And so that reason, Moshe said his Gvaldiga Chiddush that's quoted. Not everybody agrees with Shlomo Zalman. Other people argue with Moshe. But the point is, this is Ramesh's Kula, that a corporation, there is no Isfter. Again, this is only when they're the borrower. When they're the lender, then you don't have this Svara. Because if you go personally to borrow money from a bank, you're the borrower, you're a life, and you have a Shibud Aguf. Just because the lender, that's already a whole different sugya. I said, that gets involved some of the things we talked about yesterday, but the lender is already going to be different. And the Inyan, but Isa Inyan, it's just kedai to mention, there is another well-known tshuva for a Moshe. If somebody's a shareholder, he owns stock in a publicly traded company, and the company engages in things that are off, does business on Shabbos, without proper heterim, etc. So if he goes ahead and it does business on Shabbos, can I own shares in that company? If I'm a shareholder, let's say I'm a substantial shareholder. Let's say you own already, you're above the 5% or the 9.9% threshold. So what's that look like? Can I own shares in a publicly traded company where the company engages in Dvar Masurim? So there's another often quoted in halachic circles, Tshuvas from Moshe, it's in Eben Ezer, Chelik Aleph, Simen Zion, where a Moshe paskins that it's 100% mutter. It's not going to be also. And Rav Moshe says, the reason is a few things. Number one, the shareholder has no say on what happens in the company. Number two, doesn't want to have a say. And he says, even if they tell him, you know, sometimes they send out like these proxies that, you know, there's going to be a shareholders meeting and we're going to decide who the next chief executive officer should be. We'd like your vote. Rav Moshe says that, read it to you inside. When they have these super preferred shares that you don't have a vote. It looks nice, but the bottom line is they don't really care what you have to say. They're not going to listen to some guy living in Arkansas that happened to have inherited shares from some trust fund that he has. They're not listening to your opinion. They're going to decide who should be. Where Moshe says that it could be, it's going to get a little bit tricky. Actually, I saw this in the Vidibar Tavon from David Feinstein. He brings there regarding this Psak Halach from Moshe. He said that it could be that's only true if the shareholder doesn't have an executive position within the company. He's talking about the CEO. I don't know if it would relate to other positions within the company as well. But once you become a decision maker in the company and you're a shareholder in the company, then already it could be, it would be different. Either way, me'inyan le'inyan, ba'isa inyan, some classic tshuvas for a Moshe. Just wanted to say, I meant to speak to that in the beginning of the daf, that today's shiur was dedicated in memory of Achaver Yehuda ben Achaver Moshe Lunzer, Julius Peter Lunzer. He is the father of our good friend Ben and Jay Lunzer, two members of our Chabura, and today is his yard site, Hey Kislev, and may today's learning and really all the wonderful things that his son, I got to know Ben really, really well, do should be a schus for his neshama should have a true aliyah.